up, mister.
Digit up, mister. Hey, what I say, sir? Yeah. No. Yeah. Get your hands in the air, sir. Woo. Yeah. Then you will get no hurt, mister. No. I said, yeah.
I said, yeah.
Pastor Cameron on the Clarendon Connection this Wednesday night. I tell you, giving praise to the King of Glory. Here we say, Eternal Father, bless our land. Guard us with thy mighty hand. Keep us free from evil powers. Be a light through countless hours. To our leaders, great defender, grant you wisdom from above. Justice should be ours forever. Jamaica, land we love, wherever you are. What a day. What a week. It was just last week, Wednesday, when we witness one of the biggest national disgrace in the United States of America. And as we see unfolding events, there are so many elements at play. The biggest one is racism. If it was black people who had done what those white men had done, last week, Wednesday, in Washington, D.C., the outcome would have been different. What is happening, Studio? Should I go ahead, Studio? What's happening?
Yes, you should go ahead. I mean, did you not? You didn't hear the music that played? Yeah,
yes,
you got to go ahead.
I hear phone ringing and something playing in the background.
You still hear something playing in the background?
No, it has stopped now, but just before now.
But
well,
you're
continue.
Good to go.
We continue. As I was saying, what happened last week in the United States of America? If it were some black men protesting, it would not be five that got killed. It would be 10 times that number. One, the police chief, who retired, said he called for the National Guard 6 times and he was denied. The National Guard are there for emergency. And the chief of police called for the National Guard to come into the Capitol 6 times. They were not there. They wouldn't come, all because they are under the leadership of President Donald Trump. You could hear the mob shouting, "Hang Pen." So one of their objectives was to hang the vice president because a gallows was erected there. Yes, we have seen the videos. We have seen how the police did not even resist the protesters. They just opened up the rails and just let them through. And they parade, as one reporter said, they paraded in the citadel of democracy, and it was desecrated. President at the end of the day tell them to go home, how much he loves them. And I hope this time, this is the second impeachment that has been called on this man. I hope this time when Bill Barr has resigned, because we know it was his interference in the first one when Mueller was investigating the Russia probe. But I hope around. I hope the second one is the charm. Trump shouldn't, when he move out next week or even before, he should probably move out from tonight. Number one, we have seen a report where he can't stay for more than 7 days in at Mar-a-Lago, even though he owns the place. So we don't know where he's going to go. And we see where New York has come down on him so heavily. New York has come down heavily on Donald Trump. Tons of lawsuits facing him when he left, when he leave office. I hope before next week, Wednesday. Because he is the worst president that America has ever seen. But, you know, Trump's mother spoke bad about him from a long time. But nobody wouldn't listen. His niece where she wrote the book, what's her name, Mary Trump, Enough Is Never Too Much. She spoke about him in length. And the black people have experienced the racism of Donald Trump. And he has done very well in casting a shadow over the people's eyes. So at one point they see him as he will make America great again. Trump is a liar. And we can only hope that everything goes well next week, Wednesday, when President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris will be able to walk down Pennsylvania Avenue. And the world will see the dawning of a new day. Curtain drawing down on an evil man. Great men have paid the price. Men like Marcus Garvey. Would you believe that today in history, in 1925, Marcus Mosiah Garvey entered into the Atlanta Federal Prison? It was on this day in 1925. The FBI investigated Marcus Garvey for many years. And they never stopped until federal charges were placed on him over shares in the Black Star Liner and mail fraud. And today in history, Marcus Garvey entered into federal prison in Atlanta, Georgia. The same Atlanta, Georgia, where President Trump called, what is his name, Russell Weinberg or whatever, and say he must find, got to find 11,780 votes. That's what Trump called the man and tell him, Trump should go to prison. Look how long the other fellow there from Georgia has been warning Trump. He said he must stop it because somebody's going to get shot and somebody's going to get killed. And
as they say in Jamaica, Sussex, Sudden. Five people were shot when Trump mob marched on Washington. And you want to tell me the Congress, some of them are so spineless. The man is in error. And they have so many constitutional matters that can address this man. Because they say Pence and the rest of them could sign something to make him incapable to lead the nation. And they talk about the 14th Amendment, the 25th Amendment. Only Nancy, only Sister Nancy one is standing up and say, impeach the man. And we have racists in there like Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley. Even Mitch McConnell is supporting the impeachment. Because they know that Trump is wrong. Trump is a racist. Trump incites sedition in upon America. He has no bred a lot of homegrown terrorists. And they are the ones that he has been promoting from a long time and keep on denying them in public. When he was in the debate and they say he must denounce this racist group, Proud Boys, he just told them to stand back, stand down. And they were there. In another debate, when they talk about what, QAnon and stuff, he pretend like he didn't know them. Who was at the forefront of that march last week Wednesday? QAnon. And then the sad thing about it, Thursday morning, I was watching Fox News and I couldn't believe my ears when Fox News is saying that the rioters were part of Antifa. How could they be so dumb and blind and wicked to be blaming Antifa? When every flag or most of the flag up there mark Trump. When they know how far they are with the far right groups. Fox News blaming Antifa for Wednesday. When the world has seen President Trump telling his mobsters and his rioters lies when he's told them that they're going to march down and he's going to be marching with them. Only when the march started, he was not there. They said he retreated back to the White House. And the world cannot believe that these things could have happened in America. Hear what Martin Luther talks about a genuine leader. And I am reading from the book, The Autobiography of Martin Luther King Jr. And it is edited by Claiborne Carson. On page 330, he says, a genuine leader is not a searcher for consensus. People have said to me, since violence is the new cry, isn't there a danger that you will lose touch the people in the ghetto and be out of step with the times if you don't change your views on nonviolence? Answer is always the same. While I am convinced that the vast majority of Negroes reject violence, even if they did not, I would not be interested in being a consensus leader I refuse to determine what is right by taking a Gallup poll to the trends of the time. I imagine that there were leaders in Germany who sincerely opposed what Hitler was doing to the Jews, but they took their poll and discovered that anti-Semitism was the prevailing trend. In order to be in step with the times, in order to keep in touch, they yielded to one of the most ignominious evils that the history has ever known. Ultimately, a genuine leader is not a searcher for a consensus, but a molder of consensus. If every Negro in the United States turned to violence, I will choose to be that one lone voice preaching that this is the wrong way. May this sound like arrogance. Maybe this sounds like arrogance, but it is not intended that way. It is simply my way of saying that I would rather be a man of conviction than a man of conformity. Occasionally in life, one develops a conviction so precious and meaningful that he will stand on it till the end. This is what I found in nonviolence. Martin Luther goes on to say, I cannot make myself believe that God wanted me to hate. I am tired of violence. I have seen too much of it. I have seen such hate on the faces of too many sheriffs in the South. And I am not going to let my oppressor dictate to me what method I must use. Our oppressors have used violence. Our oppressors have used hatred. Our oppressors have used rifles and guns. I am not going to stoop down to their level. I want to rise to a higher level. We have a power that can't be found in a Molotov cocktail. One of the greatest paradoxes of the Black Power movement was that it talked unceasingly about not imitating the values of white society. But in advocating violence, it would be imitating the worst. The most brutal and most uncivilized value of American life, American Negroes, had not been mass murderers. They had not murdered children in Sunday school, nor had they hung white men on trees bearing strange fruit. They had been wounded, perpetrators of violence, lynching human beings at will, and drowning them at whim. I am concerned that Negroes achieve full status as citizens and as human beings here in the United States. But I am also concerned about our moral uprightness and the health of our soul. Therefore, I must oppose any attempt to gain our freedom by the method of malice, hate, and violence that have been characterized by our oppressors. Hate is just and injurious to the hater as it is to the hated. Like an unchecked cancer, hate corrodes the personality and eats away its vital unity. Many of our inner conflicts are rooted in hate. This is why the psychiatrists say, love or perish. Hate is too great a burden to bear. Humanity is waiting for something other than blind imitation of the past. If we want truly to advance a step further, if we want to turn over a new leaf and really set a new man afoot, we must begin to turn mankind away from the long and desolate night of violence. May it not be that the new man the world needs is the nonviolent man, Longfellow said. In this world, a man must either be an anvil or a hammer. We must be hammers shaping a new society rather than anvils molded by the old. This will not only make us new men, but will give us a new kind of power. It will not be large action image of power that tends to corrupt our absolute power, that corrupts absolutely. It will be the power infused with love and justice that will change dark yesterdays into bright tomorrows and lift us up from the fatigue of despair to the buoyancy of hope. A dark, desperate, confused, and sin-sick world awaits for this new kind of man and this new kind of power. And we see where President Trump came in, and he has demonstrated everything here that Martin Luther referred to in the eyes of the oppressor. That's who Donald Trump is. And I hope the Congress can gather the courage. And they're talking about, oh, don't interfere with Biden 100 days. Every day Trump get on this thing, him is like a cancer. He gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And you have to root it out. You can't put on a little band-aid panic. You have to root out Trump. Root out Giuliani. Root out Ivanka. Root out the whole lot of them from Indian Trump. Because this man is a racist. He's a fascist. He's in the same league as Adolf Hitler. Because he doesn't like the black. He has seen the figures. We are on the day. On the 6th of January, that last week, Wednesday. Only 42 people was arrested in Washington. Only 42, and they are saying most of them were people who broke the curfew. In George Floyd's death, when they went to arrest on the 1st of June, they arrested 289 people. America has very scant regard for the black. This is the Clarendon Connection with the host, Pastor Cameron. Coming to you from the foot of the Bullet Mountain in a little district called Turkopon. We're going to ask the station to take a break. And then we're going to be coming back with a famous speech. Take it away, studio. And we're going to be right back.
Woo! Goodness gracious! This song must give you the queen. Don't take you out, please. Take one time.
What I don't see. I don't see what you don't care to my heart is so bare.
What I don't see, don't let your heart leave. Never let this one give you the queen. Shake it up and move it all over.
The faster you fly, the harder you drop.
Take your time till you reach the top.
You better take your time till you reach the top.
Yeah! Don't be like Humpty Dumpty, who sat on the wall and have a great fall.
Like better take your time till you reach, my friend.
Hold your tongue, brother, hold your tongue. Say it again. Tell him about it.
Do what you may, say what you live for. You are the one who's really gonna pay the bill.
You're the one who's gonna pay the bill. Down to your people and chill. Try to be cool and don't be nobody's fool. Come to school and get out your musical tools.
The faster you climb, the harder you drop.
Say it again.
You better take your time till you reach the top.
Yeah.
If you walk too far, you'll have to walk again.
Never try to do that.
better take your time to reach my friend.
Say God, you don't need no one can see. This one is exclusively Grammy. Grammy, like a rabbit.
Do baba, do baba, day. Do baba, do baba, day.
Woo!
Do what you may and say what you will, boy. You are the one who's really gonna pay the bill. Do baba, do baba, day. Do baba do baba day. Do baba do baba day. Do baba do baba day.
Yes, this is a Clarendon connection with the host, Pastor Rowan Cameron. And this is the 13th day, January in the year for our Lord, 2021. We see in history, in 1986, Debbie Thomas became the first black woman to win a world figure skating championship. Debbie Thomas. This happened January 13, 1986. Also, Bill Russell became the first black man to grab 51 rebounds in the NBA championship. Bill Russell, he played for the Boston Celtics. And he was a superstar, man. He played 13 seasons and won 11 championships. Bill Russell. And also on this day, Jamaica first national hero, Marcus Mosiah Garvey, locked up. He entered federal prison in Atlanta. FBI cook up some charges on him. You could see the release of documents, of certain FBI documents where they trapped down Marcus Garvey, man by the name of J. Edgar Hoover. Trapped down Marcus Garvey. Put these charges on him. All because Marcus Garvey had one of the best organizations in the world, the UNIA. It was the fastest growing organization in the world. J. Edgar Hoover, the white man, the homosexual, trump up these charges on Marcus Garvey, and on this day, 1925, he entered into federal prison in Atlanta, Georgia. They should have locked up Trump this day too, and lock him up before before Biden become president. Lock up Trump. Trump should be in jail for sedition and insurrection. And plus, what Trump did in when he phoned a Secretary of State in Georgia. Trump should be in jail. But because the United States is built on racism, Trump will get away. But George Floyd, the white police sat on his neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. And George Floyd was killed. And the murderers are walking free on the street. The man who in the picture that took away the speaker of the house podium. He was out on $25,000 bond. And they know them. The authorities know them. Because if we see them on television, they know them. We heard that policemen was in there marching. And all type of people were marching. And the vice president has to be hiding the speaker of the house, has to be hiding Mitch McConnell, he has to be hiding in some lowly bunker. Hiding from the homebred terrorists under the leadership of Donald Trump. But I will console myself in the great words spoken by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in 1963. And I'm reading from the book, the autobiography of Martin Luther King Jr. I'm at page 223. I have a dream. I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration of freedom in the history of our nation. 50 years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon, light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. 100 years later, the Negro is still languishing in the corners of an American society and find himself an exile in his own land. So we have come here today to dramatize a shameful condition. In a sense, we have come to our nation capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall ear. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that the American has defaulted on this promissory note in as so far as our citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, the American has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds. But we refuse to believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity of this nation. So we have come to cash this check, a check that will give us up on demand the riches of freedom and the security of justice. We have come to this hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take tranquilizing drugs of gradualism. Now is the time to make real the promise of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksand of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all God's children. It will be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment. This sweltering summer of the Negro's legitimate discontent will not pass until there is an inebriating autumn of freedom and inequality. 1963 is not an end, but a beginning. Those who hope that the Negro needed to blow off steam and will now be content will have a rude awakening if the nation return to business as usual. There will be neither rest nor tranquility in America until the Negro is granted his citizenship right. The whirlwind of revolt will continue to shake the foundation of our nation until the bright day of justice emerges. But there is something that I must say to my people who stand on the warm threshold which leads to the palace of justice in the process of gaining our rightful place. We must not be guilty of wrongful deeds. Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cups of bitterness and hatred. We must forever conduct our struggles on the high plane of dignity and discipline. We must not allow our creative protest to denigrate our physical violence into physical violence. Again and again, we must rise to the majestic heights of meeting physical force with soul force. The marvelous new militancy which has engulfed the Negro community must not lead us to a distrust of all white people. For many brothers are evidenced by their presence here today. Have come to realize that their destiny is tied up with our destiny. They have come to realize that their freedom is intrinsically bound to our freedom. We cannot walk alone. As we walk, we must make the pledge that we shall always march ahead. We cannot turn back. There are those who are asking the devotees of civil rights, when will you be satisfied? We can never be satisfied as long as the Negro is the victim of unspeakable horrors of police brutality. We can never be satisfied as long as our bodies, heavy with fatigue of travel, cannot gain lodging in the motels of the highways and the hotels of the cities. We cannot be satisfied as long as the Negro basic mobility is from a smaller ghetto to a larger one. We can never be satisfied as long as our children are stripped of their selfhood and rob of their dignity by signs stating for white only. We cannot be satisfied as long as Negro in Mississippi cannot vote and a Negro in New York believe he has nothing for which to vote. No, we are not satisfied and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. I am not unmindful that some of you have come here out of great trials and tribulation. Some of you have come fresh from narrow jail cells. Some of you have come from areas where your quest for freedom left you battered by the storms of persecution and staggered by the winds of police brutality. You have been the veterans of creative suffering. Continue to work with the faith that unearned suffering is redemptive. Go back to Mississippi. Go back to Alabama. Go back to South Carolina. Go back to Georgia. Go back to Louisiana. Go back to the slums and ghettos of our northern cities, knowing that somehow this situation can and will be changed. Let us not wallow in the valley of despair. I say to you today, my friend, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It's a dream rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live in this true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day the Reddies of Georgia, the sons of former slave and the sons of former slave owners, will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering in the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day down in Alabama, with his vivacious races, with his governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right here in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join on with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley will be exalted and every mountain shall be made low, and the rough place will be made plain, and the crooked place will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I will go back to the south with the faith that will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we'll be able to transform the jangling discord of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we'll be able to work together, pray together, struggle together, go to jail together, stand up for our freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring." And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring from the progressive hilltop of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening allergies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and from every mole of Mississippi. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And when this happens, we will allow freedom ring. When we let it ring from every village and from every hamlet and from every state and from every city, we'll be able to speed up that day when all God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestant and Catholic, will be able to join and sing in the words of the old Negro preacher: "Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. We are free at last." This was the dream of Martin Luther. Here we talk about the injustice that was taking place in America. And this was 1963. Martin Luther was assassinated in 1968 in Memphis, Tennessee. And look what we see happening in America today. Look at how he structured his speech. He addressed everybody. He only wanted justice for the black man. And President Trump, I remember him referring to President-elect Kamala Harris as a monster. He had no regard for Nancy Pelosi. I am saying that man need not to spend another night in the White House. And for all the injustice that he has done to blacks, he must pay. We have known his history. History will tell us that back in the 70s, Trump drove around New York in a Cadillac, driven by a black man. He had no regard for black. When a black man show up at one of his place that he was building, he tell the secretary he don't want, they must not sit in the lobby. Trump is a racist. His father is a racist. and came on the scene in 2016 and talking about he will make America great again. Why is he holding on to power so much? He challenged the election when he knew he lost fair and square. 62 lawsuits. He tried every court, the Supreme Court, the state court, the local court. 62, and he lost. Took Mitch McConnell so long to acknowledge Joe Biden as the winner. Same thing with Lindsey Graham. He got converted after the terrorist march in Washington. That's when he got converted. And he finally said Joe Biden is the winner. But man, I can say like Martin Luther, I have a dream. It is my heart desire that by next week, Wednesday, we will never have to call his name again. His name will only be called in courthouse. Donald Trump answering to charges. And we will celebrate the first black woman to be vice president of the United States of America. We will celebrate. And Biden cabinet is broad. We will support him. We will pray for him. There's a lot of those pastors in America were prophesying lies about Trump. Yes, they prophesy lies. God is no respecter of person. If God did want Trump to win, Trump would win fair and square. Argument done. But look how he tried after he lost. Right to the very end, he wanted Mike Pence to do what is unconstitutional. Anything to make him win. That man have no shame. Scripture says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Every man sow, that shall he also reap. Because when he sow to the flesh, of the flesh again reap corruption. When you sow to the spirit, you shall reap life everlasting. Trust in the true and living God. He's still in control in America. And I am telling you, no man can make America great without Almighty God. But the wise man Solomon says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean unto thine own understanding. But in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Because the blacks who have contributed so much so this American society can't regard for us. Does Bob Marley in one of his songs say, stolen from Africa, brought to America, fighting on arrival, fighting for survival. Our four parents were dragged across the Negro Passage from the west coast of Africa. And were treated as cargo, less than animals. Packed like sardines, the hull of the ships. And when they came, their bodies were hauled and they were put on the auction. But we say the words of Marcus God. Up your mighty race. You can accomplish what you will. And then he go on to say, it was made famous by Bob Marley. Emancipate yourself from mental slavery. None but yourself can free your mind. Let us keep on trusting in the true and living God. His mercies, they are new every morning. When we say, great is thy faithfulness. Father in heaven, we thank you, oh God, for this hour. And we give you all praise and honor and glory. Because we declare it is not by might nor by power, but it is by your spirit. We continue to trust in you and exalt your holy and matchless name, for at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, things in heaven, things on earth, and things beneath the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is Pastor Cameron checking out. And we see you right here next week, same time, same place, on the Clarion Connection. There we continue to go down the paths of history. And we continue to trust in the words of Almighty God. Good evening, and God bless. Over to you, studio. I'm going to go to the next one.